The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. On Grace in Focus, from time to time, we wrestle with some of the more difficult and mournful subjects. We got a question from a listener recently that we'd like to handle today, but I want to warn you, while this is a very important subject, it can be a little difficult to talk about. Here's the question that we got from our listener. If my son committed suicide, but had believed in Jesus early in life, but was denying him later in life, where is he now? I think you'll find Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar's discussion a comfort on this subject. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
You know, we get hard questions. Sometimes we get tricky questions, but then sometimes we get very heartfelt, very serious questions. And this one is very heartfelt, and I'm not going to read all of the names that are mentioned here. Let me call this lady Debbie, all right? And she says, "Dear Bob and Sean, please answer my question. It's so important. My precious only child took his life in the most horrific way." So this is, our hearts go out to you. We're so sorry. Man. To hear that, Debbie. I mean, that is, I can imagine, but I, you know, what that's like, but I hope I never go through it, and I'm so sorry that you are. And she says, "At 9 years old, we went to a Baptist church, and my child said the quote-unquote magic words and then was baptized. He was very intelligent, and he understood it, but in his teenage years, his friends taught him to be an atheist. And then at 24, he met a Jewish girl that he was in love with, and he believed in God again, but she broke his heart. And after the breakup, he said, 'I don't believe in Jesus. I just believe in God like I'm a Jewish person.' And then some weeks before that, I said, 'Well, you were baptized and born again in the church.' And he said, 'I only did that to please you and Dad and the people of the church.' So Debbie says, 'So I'm very afraid for my precious son. Please tell me what you think.'"
Well, you're right. This is a very heartfelt email, and I wish I could give a definitive answer, but since I don't know her son and didn't know her son, I can give some definitive points depending on what her son believed.
Yeah.
First of all, Debbie, I think it's quite possible that your son believed in Jesus for everlasting life when he was nine, and that he later told you this because he was either angry with God,
yeah,
or because of what he had gone through with the breakup with,
yeah,
the girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not necessarily an accurate statement of what happened. The other thing is, he may not even remember the time at which he believed in Jesus.
Right.
In other words, it's true, he may have been baptized just in order to please his parents, and then at some point before he went through his teenage rebellion, he might have believed,
right,
and been born again and still can't remember it. And so he went to the grave lacking assurance. In fact, I guess she's saying at the very end he did believe in God, but,
yeah,
no longer faith in Jesus. So he might well could have been born again. But I would have to say it's also possible he's not born again. And let me say, Debbie, that that's a problem that we all face with some loved ones, or at least most of us. Both of my parents died at a time when they were not professing that by faith in Jesus they knew they had everlasting life,
yeah,
and they were secure forever.
Yeah.
I think it's possible both of my parents believed, and I think it's possible one or both of them didn't. I really don't know, and that bothers me, but I can't change that.
Yeah.
And in terms of your son, I think at least you have the level of comfort that he was in the church up till he was 13 or 14 or whatever age, and he heard the message, and he heard it a lot, and if at any point he believed it, he's born again.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, this kind of reminds me, and I want to speak to fellow Baptists out there, especially, but Debbie says, at that Baptist church, he said the magic words, which I guess was the sinner's prayer, something like that. And he got baptized. And I really hope, there's nothing wrong with saying a prayer. There's nothing wrong with saying a sinner's prayer. But as Baptists, we must never, ever, ever give anyone the impression that saying a prayer and getting baptized is what you must do to be born again.
Absolutely
right.
If
that's your takeaway, then you have a confusing saving message and you need to stop it. I would suggest getting rid of the sinner's prayer personally because it just causes so much confusion. Bob and I, we've talked to lots of people.
And it's not found in Scripture.
And it's not. Jesus didn't go around and Paul didn't go around leading people in a sinner's prayer. That's made up from the revival times because it was just a handy technique to handle large amounts of people who are professing faith in Christ. Anyways, we should probably drop it. Emphasize that all you need to do is just believe. Believe, believe, believe. That's it. Believe Jesus' promise of eternal salvation, eternal life. That's all you need to do. The baptism comes after. The sinner's prayer can come after. But put the emphasis on believing.
And let me say something to Debbie. I never had any kids. But my oldest sister died when she was 33 under suspicious circumstances. And I can tell you that my parents went through such grief. There were three of us, and I was 20. My middle sister was 27. My oldest sister, Roberta, was 33 or 4.
Yeah.
And it was just horrible. And I'm very sorry for your loss. And I think, you don't say in your email, but I think it's extremely important you get help. You need to have somebody you can talk through. There are support groups you can be in where you've lost a child as a result of either an illness or suicide. And it's just an extremely difficult thing for any person. It's hard enough if your child dies in their 40s or 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
But if your child dies in the prime of life, that is so difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I've known a number of people that have gone through that, and it's a grieving process. And please, Debbie, get the help you need in your local church, maybe through a Christian counseling center.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you know for sure that your son is born again and with the Lord,
yeah,
Sean, that's not going to make the grief go away.
Oh, no, and you should grieve. You should be grieving. That's totally normal. It's totally natural. I probably don't need to say that, but sometimes men especially need to hear, you know, it's okay to grieve. That's healthy. You should be grieving.
And I'm not saying that it would be a tremendous comfort for her to know that her son is with the Lord now. I get that.
Right.
But sometimes we don't have that.
No, we don't.
And we need God's grace more now than ever when we're going through this kind of grief, because you just reading this story, it hurts.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know Debbie from anybody, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, if you know somebody like Debbie that's going through it, I hope you're reaching out to him or her.
Yeah.
I hope you're loving them and caring for them, because they need help.
Right. And oftentimes it's not a matter, there's nothing for you to fix. You can't, that's beyond your ability to fix. It's just for you to be there, to be present.
Right. It's not so much that you say anything. You love them. You care
love
for
them.
Them.
However they need to be loved.
Yeah.
But I will say this. It raises an issue, I think, where free grace theology really stands out from other traditions. Because a lot of traditions, Christian traditions, would say, based on this story, he definitely lost his salvation. Because he was an atheist.
Or proved he wasn't saved in the first place.
Or proved he was never saved to begin with. And so there's really no hope for him. But in our position, as we understand Scripture, if you believe, you have eternal life and you'll never perish no matter what you believe or do afterwards.
That's right. So even if he had become an atheist and stayed an atheist, that couldn't remove his salvation.
No.
If he was born again.
Right.
And even if he died as a Buddhist or a Hindu or any other world religion.
In this case, Jewish, you know, kind of Jewish sympathetic something.
Right.
That doesn't erase it. Eternal life is eternal.
None of that makes a difference other than eternal rewards.
Yes.
But in terms of his eternal destiny, that's simply a matter, did he ever believe?
Yeah.
And the free grace position at least holds out the comfort that if he ever did, then he's now with the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think what I've heard us say, free grace people say in the past, which is also different than other traditions, is, you know, especially in Roman Catholic tradition, committing suicide is a mortal sin. And so that's an erase. You lose your eternal salvation based on that. Or it really bars you from it. But what we've often said is, if a person comes to that point, it's usually because they are just so hurt, so mentally,
right,
they're not thinking straight, that I think we've said in the past, we wonder if God would even hold them liable for that. You know, does God hold people liable for deep mental illness?
Well, if they are mentally ill,
yeah,
and that results in this, then no, I wouldn't think that sin would be held against them. But the question would be, they still live beyond the age of accountability if it's 20,
right?
Which in my view it is.
Right, right.
And so now you would have to say, did they have mental illness from before age 20.
Oh, I'm talking about if a believer commits suicide.
Oh, yeah. No, God wouldn't hold it against them in the sense that if they're mentally ill.
Yeah, yeah. At least that's our speculation.
Yeah.
God wouldn't do that. But yeah, if an unbeliever commits suicide, then the only issue there is whether they've ever believed.
Right.
Really. So,
or if they reach the age of accountability. Some people don't agree on an age of accountability at all. But I would just say that the key here is Debbie needs to get some help, and she can take solace in the promise of everlasting life. And we haven't said this yet, Sean. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
But Debbie, make sure, number one, you know for sure that you have everlasting life.
Yes.
That you know you're going to spend eternity with the Lord, because it starts there. Once you know that, then you know for sure that your son is with the Lord if he ever believed. If she's believing a Calvinist perspective, then she would say, there's really no hope for my son. Or an Arminian perspective, there's really no hope for my son.
Right.
So it really needs to be that she personally has assurance, and that's a big part of the consolation she needs. It doesn't stop the horrible pain and grief, but at least it gives her the assurance that God loves her, that she's a part of his forever family.
Yeah, it gives you a different perspective on the sorrow. It's, I think Paul said, we're not like those who sorrow without hope.
Right.
This does make a difference to the kind of sorrow you have, this kind of hope that you might have. But I am sorry that in this case we don't. Only God knows what happened to her son and whether he believed or not. But we don't have the answers, but we know the one who does, and we trust in the one who does.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you for the question, Debbie, and if you have something for us, radio@faithalone.org is where you should send it.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about some important verses in 1 Corinthians. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.